Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I ask, Father, please, that you will carry to our hearts the message that you have for us. Father, I know I ask that every Sunday, but I know that your word goes out and does not come back void, that your word is powerful, and you, dear Holy Spirit, are the one and the only one that can touch our hearts with the insights and the truths that you want us to hear and receive and apply to our lives. So, Father, help us to walk away today with what you want us to know, what you want us to acknowledge, what you want us to see, so that we might rejoice even that much more in you because of your interaction in our heart, in our spirit, in this place, in your house, amongst the household of the faith of believers. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is hard to listen to the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Sometimes you might hear, like I said with the kids, Tatum, Tegan, you know, you might hear God say point blank. And sometimes he'll do that when we're trying to listen or not. He'll just catch our attention. But when we're really trying to discern following God and his will in our life, we have to make a spiritual effort to make sure that we're praying and seeking and attuned to the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's what's important for you and I, to follow God and to walk with him and to know him even more. We need to let the Holy Spirit influence us. And what I mean by influence is that we want him to be the one that leads us in the direction that he wants us to go, that he compels and directs and speaks to our heart with the things that are important to him that he wants us to listen to and apply. We have a lot of influencers today in our culture, don't we? When we think about influencers, people are used all the time. How many sports fans do you know, or heroes do you know, or team players that you know that are hired by some sort of business to advertise their sneaker or whatever? They use people to influence you to buy their product, right? There are people who have followers that can influence others. We see that in politics all the time, right? We can see the paid advertisers, like I said, that are promoting a product. We also can see adventure travelers. You ever watch these programs, you know, get your apartment or your house over in Europe or you know, around the world in 50 days, not the movie or whatever, but, you know, that type of thing. Oh, I want to do that someday, or that type of thing. Those are influencers. Makeup artists, you know, hey, you know, buy this product, you're going to look great. Fitness gurus, you know, this will really pull you in shape and take 20 years off of you, right? Auto repairs, we're the best ones that can take care of you. We're the best ones that are out there. And so, again, you get those influencers. The political pundits that we see all of the time are there. Video gamers, unfortunately, we see the influence of negative video games on kids' lives and how it desensitizes as well. So we have many, many influencers in our life, primarily through TV and through just the media and everything else that we are in contact with. But you and I need to be careful that we are genuinely influenced by the Holy Spirit on a regular basis, that we're listening to him, that we're in tune with him, that we're walking with him. What are some of the things that might be influencing us more than those advertising examples that I gave you? One, our body can influence us. Right? Say, how? Well, it can send you messages that you're uncomfortable, right? You're in pain, that type of a thing. How about your emotions? Your emotions can dictate how you're angry or lonely or confused or, in the old term, jazzed, okay? Now, our emotions are something that influences us to a certain type of behavior. People around you can be compelling or offensive to us. And so we have to be careful how we allow people to respond to, how we respond to people. You know, it's our choice how we respond to influences. We can't blame it on TV and advertisers or people or individuals or whatever. It's our choice how we respond, okay? What about the environment around us? It's hot or it's cold. We can identify that, right? But what about if you're in the devil's living room? Or if you're in God's living room. Do you know what I mean by that? When we allow ourselves to get in an environment that's full of darkness and temptation, as opposed to in the light of God, in an environment that honors him, right? We make those decisions, and we have to choose, because the more we choose God, the more we hear God speaking to our heart, and the closer we'll be to Him. The future is influencing you. Plans for the day, the football game, right? Upcoming things at work, weather reports, financial report, tax funds, tax bills, all these type of things influence our future. We start worrying about these things, thinking about these things, and yet we need to keep in focus to Jesus in our heart and the Holy Spirit as He leads us and directs us. Do we see that? In all of these influences, we need to maintain the common denominator. I say common denominator meaning that our focus is on God and our walk with Him and our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit leading us. Our past can influence us. What's happened to us in the past, people hold on to, I mentioned it before, and they allow the past to rob us of the future that God has for us. We may look at the things that we've done to people in the past that we're not proud of, but if we hold on to those things, they can cripple us. We need to ask God for forgiveness and seek forgiveness and reconciliation as much as possible. Spiritual things can be influencing to us. Distractions from below, do you know what I mean? The devil, the spiritual warfare, the devil himself can distract us, tugging at our heart, or we can feel the Holy Spirit tugging at our heart from above. So we see the interaction of the spiritual warfare in our life. And lastly, subliminal things are influencing you. We don't realize how the devil will interject thoughts intermittently. You might see some common, we might see an example of this in TV, where they're trying to interject a thought that they want the public to accept in society, and they put little bleeps. They don't focus, but they bleep it. Those are subliminal suggestions, okay? So they're very suggestive, and so they can influence us. So we have to be careful what we allow to influence us. And again, the most important thing for us is that we listen to the Holy Spirit to influence us in the right things. Amen? Be where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do, gives us a great confidence and a security in our life, knowing that we're in His will, living out His will. So as Christians, we want to be influencers regarding God. There's the flip side. We're influenced greatly, but it's our job to listen to the Holy Spirit so that as we follow Him and live for Him, then our influence will be impacting on the lost. But not just the lost, on brothers and sisters in Christ. That our impact as we walk with Jesus will impact non-believers to think about Jesus and believers to think about their walk with God and encourage them to grow closer to the Lord. Wouldn't that be a blessing for someone to say, you know, whether you realize it or not, God used you to influence me and to impact me to walk closer with Jesus? Wouldn't that be something if someone came up to you and told you that? What a blessing that would be, unbeknown to you. But simply because you're living for Jesus, following Jesus, loving Jesus. So we want to be able to affect change in people for God, don't we? We want to be a positive influence of God in other people's lives. We want to touch the inner man. We want to touch the spirit and the soul, the lifestyle, the thinking, the real person. Now here's the thing. We can't, in of ourselves, touch the inner man, spirit, soul, lifestyle, thinking in the real person. We can say things that God, the Holy Spirit, will use to touch those areas in a person's life. But if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is leading us to say something to someone, then let the Holy Spirit do with that what He intends. Obviously, if He's led us and we're confident He's leading us and we respond in obedience to that and we stand and speak as God would have us to, then God's going to take that and use that for His purpose. So we need to become wind walkers. A weird phrase. Wind walkers that walk with the wind in our backs, not against the wind. Do you know what I mean? Look at against the wind. How many of us in our pure stubbornness have walked against the wind of God? God wants this and we're saying, I want this. Our chest is poked out, our pride is very firm. No, and you're pushing against the Holy Spirit. That's the spiritual warfare. But you and I are supposed to say, I hear the Holy Spirit leading me and guiding me, and I'm allowing Him to carry me in the direction that he wants me to go. We need to live that way. We need to know that God is prompting, leading, urging, doing the work he's doing, and to be able to identify that and live for Jesus that much more intentionally. So we need to become wind walkers that walk with the wind in our backs, not against the wind. Don't walk against God's will. Walk in God's will. And that there's great blessing there. When we're in fellowship with God, doing what God wants us to do, having that fellowship, knowing he's speaking to us, knowing that we're acknowledging that and responding to him in communion with him, all this, that's talking about a personal relationship with God that's real and that is impacting in our lives that God is using for his glory. So I want to start with some key verses today in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, that should be motivation in itself. Learn to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. When we're willing to embrace the desires of our flesh and in full knowledge of knowing it's not what God wants us to do, then we're fulfilling our own need and ignoring the will of God. And so we need to, as believers that are serious about following Christ, as we yield our lives to him, we need to walk in the Spirit. And the promise is, then if we're walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a promise. I'm walking with God. I'm in step with God. Therefore, I'm not going to yield to my sinful flesh. I'm going to yield to God and his ways. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Paul said, the things I know I ought to do, I find myself not doing, and the things I know I ought not to do, I find myself doing. The great apostle Paul, and the closeness that he had with God, and his spiritual warfare because of our sinful nature, wrestled in the flesh and the spirit. Not uncommon. But it shouldn't be the excuse that says, well, I'm wrestling, having spiritual warfare, therefore I'm going to allow the enemy to have the upper hand and or give him more victory in my flesh than allowing God to show his victory through our lives as we die to ourselves and live for him. Does that make sense? We can choose as believers where the majority of the victory goes, to God or to the enemy. And so we need to make that choice as a conscious choice. I'm going to choose to honor God and walk in his Spirit and walk in step with him. Have you noticed sometimes you think you're doing pretty good, and next thing you know, you're messing up royally, and you go, boy, where did that come from? You know what? The truth is, we're sinful people. We're sinful people. I think about the millennial reign, little sidetrack, but just the thought. The devil's thrown into the pit for 1,000 years. Peace on earth for 1,000 years during the millennial reign. People are still sinning. People are still rejecting Christ. And here's the thing about that. It just illuminates in my mind the power of the sinful nature of human beings. Because the enemy, he's locked up. So in a sense, they're not dealing with the spiritual warfare because it's all locked up. They're dealing with their own sinful nature. And sometimes we can identify the difference. I know when I'm being attacked. I know when thoughts are in my head that shouldn't be there that are as a result of the spiritual warfare. And I know when it's just me, Terry Glover, being out of sort and not right with God. And so the word Spirit in these verses is the Greek word pneuma, not pneuma. Okay, or pneuma, but pneuma, meaning a movement of air, gentle or blast, the breath of God. When God breathed air into, or the breath into Adam, it was him, spirit, that breathed into him. All right? In other words, God is breathing on us, influencing us to go certain directions. He is pushing us along, guiding us. You know, I think about the Apostle John leaning up against the chest of Jesus at the Lord's Supper, that Last Supper, listening to his heartbeat, maybe feeling the movement in his chest, hearing his breath, as he breathes, listening to him respond to him, who's the betrayer, Lord? And hearing it clearly. That's the closeness that God wants us to have. That we're after the heartbeat of God is not just a pretty picture of ideology. It's being so close to God that we sense the very movement of God and his will for our life. His love for us, his will, and his directive. God is breathing on us. Do we recognize that sometimes in our walk, where we sense the freshness of the Spirit speaking to us? Where we sense the Holy Spirit moving us? Or giving us discernment that we need? Are we interactive in recognizing the work of the Holy Spirit in our life? It's so essential. We cannot walk in the Spirit if we're not aware of the Spirit. And we're aware of the Spirit, one, as believers receiving Christ, but two, as believers that intentionally seek out to follow him and listen to him. Have you ever prayed a prayer and said, God, this is what I'd like to do if it's your will, but in the truth, you've already made your mind up what you want to do, and so you try to convince God of what's right, and you convince yourself that God said okay. We need to make sure that we're listening to the Spirit and not our own flesh. The Holy Spirit can blow on us like a gentle breeze or a strong blast. Remember I told the kids, he can whisper softly and you can be sensitive to that, or he can yell out, dig in! He can get our attention abruptly as well, okay? When we try to go against God's guidance, the gentle wind becomes a strong blast or driving wind. But the question is, are we going to listen? Because God can make it very plain to us sometimes, and we choose to stand up in our pride and go against his will and say no. Even believers do that. I mean, really, we're all sinners. And we contend with that. I want to look at our key verses again in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So we see in these verses the signs of walking against the wind of God. If we're walking against the wind, we will be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I hear what you're saying, God. I don't want that. I choose to do what I want to do. That's fulfilling the lust of our flesh. Okay? Lust is not a perversion in the sense of sexual meaning. Lust is desiring that which is against God. So that can mean any category. So look at Galatians 5, 19 through 21, okay? What are the things we do when we're fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Now, I got to tell you, let's stop right here. Most of us don't like hearing this stuff because it reminds us of our shortcomings. But nonetheless, it's God's word, and God's word wants us to be aware of our shortcomings so we can experience the victory. The first is the acknowledgement, then with the dependence on God, and then the victory, right? And if we don't have the acknowledgement, then we can't experience the victory because we don't know what's happening, right? Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know what I like about verse 21? And you go, what in the world can you like about verse 21? Is that those who practice. It doesn't say those who have done these things. It says those who practice these things, who are unrepentant, who have allowed this to become part of their character, their lifestyle. This is who you are, these type of sins, right? And he mentions them, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. If we find ourselves living that way, where that marks our identity, our character, we are in trouble. Doesn't say if we've done those things that we won't go to heaven. It says if that is who we are, we won't. And again, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. God's word, not mine. So these verses give us a wide range of sins that point to the fact that we're walking against the wind when we do these things. Have I had outbursts of wrath? Yeah. Sometimes I blow my stack, my Polish stack. When it blows, it blows. And so, but does that mean that I'm not saved? No. It means that characteristic is something that I'm working with God to help me overcome, to have the victory. It's not something that I embrace. That's who I am and take pride in. So we have to be aware of those things. Okay? We need to make sure that we are not walking with the Spirit influencing. Wait, excuse me. I lost my note there. These verses give us quite a wide range of sins to point to the fact that we are walking against the wind and not walking with the Spirit influencing us. Good thing I read that whole sentence because it came out wrong, didn't it? Selfishness, anger, outbursts, drunkenness, jealousy, contention are all sins. Nothing new to us, but in our walk with Jesus, as the Holy Spirit prompts us, says, there's a better way for you to respond to the influence on your life. There's a better way for you to live. There's a better character that I have for you. It's in me that you become more like me. So bad attitudes like selfishness or jealousy and bad actions like anger outbursts or being contentious can point to the fact that we are not walking with the wind of the Holy Spirit, but against it. Now that might sound kind of, I'm going to use the word cutesy, but that's not the right word. Okay, well, that's a clever little writing there, but it's better, more intentionally what I'm trying to say. But we need to be willing to look at ourselves honestly before God and say, where are we on these things? Are we dealing with our shortcomings before God? Are we seeking the Holy Spirit and His guidance in our life? Do we love Jesus enough to do that so that we can become more like Him and bring Him glory? So, we will not be able to influence anyone for God when we live in the flesh. Okay? If we're walking against the wind and displaying this fruit of the flesh, we will not have the impact God wants us to have for those around us. So, excuse me. What do we display when we're walking with the wind? Isn't it nice that the scripture points out the negative, but now he's going to point out the positive? It's kind of like God saying, look, I'm not here to slap you down just to help you see and realize. But I've got good news for you. These are the good things that are to come. So in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, love is... human love without God is always in response to behavior, something we like, something that benefits us. Godly love is giving love where it's not merited, and we are not seeking approval for ourselves, but we're just loving because God loved us, and we're to love others. That's love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. The inner joy of knowing that we're walking in step with the Holy Spirit in our life, that we have a relationship with Jesus, and in the midst of whatever circumstance we're facing in life, we have the assurance of God's love and presence in our heart that gives us a joy. Doesn't mean that has to be exemplified through an external exuberance of joy. It just means that I have a joy in my heart knowing that God is right there with me and loves me, and I am His. And His is mine, as we sang in the song. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. How many people don't live with peace? How many Christians don't live with peace? We can assume a lot. So the key factor is, if we're going to have peace in our life, is to have peace in our heart with God through a right relationship with Him. Amen? That's what it should be. If I'm right with God, if you're right with God, and we're walking with Him, or we're honestly dealing with our own weaknesses before God, then we can have a peace in our heart about it. Some of the things that I've talked to God about in my own life that were more embarrassing to me than I was willing to acknowledge verbally before God. But if I'm willing to humble myself, and if you're willing to humble yourself and say, God, this is where my mind is, this is where my struggle is, this is where my conflict is, we can talk to Jesus about anything. And He blesses us because we're willing to humble ourselves before Him and say, God, help me. This is who I see myself as being. And I don't like it. Will you help me? And He does. And He absolutely does. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Have you ever got to a place where you're going through a difficult time? You say, okay, this is enough. I've learned my long-suffering. Then you really haven't ran the gamut of long-suffering. Long-suffering is that God carries you farther than what you ever expected that you could go, developing our faith through the suffering in Him. But long-suffering is just that, more than what we expect. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such there's no law. Nobody can speak about these things. It went into the purity of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of you would love to have full self-control in the Spirit of God? You say, well, I'm never going to be there. This side of heaven, we won't be. But we can grow closer and closer in that relationship with God to where we find ourselves in control spiritually in Christ by His power. When we let the Holy Spirit breathe on us and influence us for God, we will have this God-pleasing spiritual fruit in our life. I would rather see those good qualities in my life than all those ugly qualities we read before. So if we choose to follow the flesh, we're developing those ugly qualities. But when we choose to follow the Spirit and walk with Him, those wonderful qualities of Jesus become more manifest in our life and will impact other people's lives. When we let the Holy Spirit breathe on us and influence us for God, we will have this God-pleasing spiritual fruit in our lives. We can't do it on our own. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes the breath of God to influence us, to move us in the direction He would have us to go. We have to be paying attention to God. When the nudging of the Holy Spirit is moving, stop and acknowledge that in our spirit, in our prayer, verbally or otherwise, so it can penetrate and become more of an acknowledged reality. I hear you, Lord, and I choose to follow you. The more we ignore the gentle breath, the harder the winds may become. Why is that? Because God loves us so much that He's trying His best to get us in the right direction. And in our pride and in our own thinking, we think we know what's best sometimes. And God doesn't stand there and laugh at us. He just loves us and says, I'm trying to show you the right way. Our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit will become dull. How sensitive are you to the Holy Spirit in your life? If the Holy Spirit is not acknowledged as being active in your life or is very, very distant from you, you need to ask God how much you're choosing to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because if we're not willing to be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and respond obediently to God's leading in our life, then we're not willing to walk in the Spirit with Jesus and have that closer relationship with God. And so the result is that the Spirit of God working in life seems dull. And our faith becomes more religious than relational with Jesus. And having that dull sense of the Holy Spirit because we're pushing back will only ensure that we're facing a hard road ahead, right? Because we're walking against God. So, being that it's the beginning of the new year, it's a great time to take an inventory of our lives and analyze what's influencing us. Oh, great. Thanks a lot. That's really what I want to do. Go to God and say, God, where have I messing up? No, you go to God and you say, God, show me where I'm not in check with you and help me to learn how to be in check with you. A humble heart, this is God, I just want to be in your will that I have a closer relationship with you. So, are we letting people or personal desires influence us? Do our emotions control us? Is prioritizing our time with God and his word important in our lives? Are we becoming more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting in our lives? Are we bearing godly fruit in our lives? Can you see yourself growing more in Christ? You know how I monitor that? If I feel closer to God as I get older, rather than feeling less close to God as I get older, I should be not as on fire as I was when I was first saved. I should be far more on fire for God as I grow in Christ. So we should be seeing ourselves growing in the joy, growing in the relationship, growing in the knowledge and understanding, growing in the power of God as we live our lives for him. And so ask God, God, show me, I want to be closer to you. I want to love you more. I need you to show me the things that you want to show me. You know what I love about that statement is? God will not show us everything. What's 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Look at that last part. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what the comparative is? We confess what we know, and the things that we don't know that we've done, he forgives us too. It's like starting a new slate every time we confess sin. But it also tells me there's a lot of things I do that God doesn't like. And if God told me everything that I was doing that he doesn't like, we would have no hope. So when we go to God and we say, God, I want you to talk to me because I'm your child and you're my father and I want to know you better. But show me the things you want me to acknowledge to help me walk closer to you. Show me the things that ought not to be in my life. And help me to have the grace and power to have victory over those things. And God will only give us what we need to hear for this place in our life. And he'll gently guide us and teach us to be with the people he wants us to be. So are we bearing godly fruit or are we bearing sinful fruit? Paul gave us some wisdom to help us walk with the wind and not against it in Romans 8, 5, and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When we yield to our flesh in opposition to God and his will, we only bring destruction into our lives. We will not experience the fullness of the power of God working in and through our lives. But when we are yielded to the Spirit, there is life and peace. Praise God for that. Where we focus our thoughts will help to determine whether we will stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit's influence in our lives or not. So think about what you think about the most. What's on your mind most of the time? Okay? What do you put into your mind most of the time? Are the goals spiritually focused or self-focused? We need to be intentionally selective and responsive to God. So I want to encourage you this year, as we start it out, take the time to think about these questions. Ask God these things. Analyze your fruit. Are you closer to God than you ever have been? And if not, why? Grow closer to Jesus every day, every year of your life. Think about whether you feel like you're being gently influenced or if you're walking against the wind. You understand that? In your walk with Jesus, are you fighting against the wind of the Holy Spirit in your life or are you letting the wind, the Holy Spirit, carry you in his path? So let's make it a goal this year to be a wind walker. We could say wind walker, take the D off. A wind walker with the wind at our backs, empowering us and moving us along to be influencers for God, bearing His Spirit, His spiritual fruit. Right? Is that what we want? A relationship that's closer, richer, fuller, and manifests more of the character of God in our life, that draws us to a relationship with God that is far greater than we ever thought we could have. Amen. That's what God wants. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. But I want to thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Again, like I said in the beginning, your word goes out and never comes back void. It's you, dear Holy Spirit, that does the work that touches our heart, our spirit, our soul, and everything that we are. You're the one that reaches down the core of who we are and speaks to us about the things that you want to speak to us about. It doesn't have to be bad things. It can be acknowledging the good things and the faithfulness as well. But nonetheless, Father, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to be our helper, our counselor, our comforter, our strength. And help us to be the people that you've called us to be. May we rejoice in you, have joy in you, peace in you, love in you. May we bear fruit in our lives because of you working in our lives, that others will see Jesus, whether lost or saved, and that others will be compelled and influenced to know you and to know you better. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.